Tech Unplugged, unearthing topics in the life sciences.
Hi everybody, and welcome back to Lab Tech Unplugged, where we discuss topics that impact the life sciences. I'm your host Rachel, and in this episode of our Spotlight on Sustainable Science series, I'm joined by Catherine Mars and Caitlin Harper-Lode from Granova, a company focused on creating sustainable solutions in the lab through the washing and reuse of plastic consumables. Catherine currently serves as the Chief Commercial Officer and is responsible for the commercial team, including the execution of the company's strategic vision. She spent most of her career at Stryker Corporation, one of the world's leading medical technology companies. She also previously served as CBO at WildHive, a strategy and communications firm. So welcome, Catherine, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rachel.
I'm also joined by Caitlin, a Senior Director of Marketing, and she's responsible for product management and marketing communications, covering a wide range of activities. Her past career experience is in small business medical devices, including spine and tissue biologics. So hello, Caitlin, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rachel.
Granova has partnered with Row Impact to develop a calculator to quantify the environmental impact of washing and reusing plastics consumables. Row Impact offers ESG advisory software and technology tools to address the key barriers to ESG performance and support companies in making decisions that accelerate the transition to a net zero economy. And I'm joined by co-founder and chief advisory officer, Noah Miller. He's been an ESG director for multiple public and private companies, a consulting practice leader, and executive education curriculum developer. So finally, hello, Noah, and thank you for joining us.
Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So to begin with, I wondered if you could first tell us a bit more about your backgrounds and when you first became interested in sustainability as a global issue.
Well, I'll start, Rachel. You know, sustainability is a big topic, and I think we all have kind of our specific issues within sustainability that really matter to us. Maybe it's water, maybe it's plastics, maybe it's carbon. For me, plastics has always been just a head scratcher. As being American, you know, raised in the time that I'm raised, we use single-use plastics all the time. And I remember when I was 20, I started this little neighborhood thing where I would give everybody a soap container and I would keep a big vat in my garage and I would fill up everybody's soap container when they ran out. And I called it the Vessel Project. And this was meant to reduce plastic. So really, this goes back to sort of my whole life. I really want to fix this issue. In the medical device industry, as you mentioned, I spent most of my career at Stryker inside the operating room. And I don't know if many people understand this, and a lot of the life science industry that I've spoken to doesn't, is that in the operating room, there is medical device reprocessing that has been going on since 97. And there's very large companies that do third-party reprocessing. So you use something on a patient, you put it in a bin, a company picks it up, washes it, reuses it, re-sterilizes it, and it's used again. So this is a huge sustainability effort that MedTech has been under. And so I've seen that culturally happen in that industry, and just really understanding the size, scope, and scale of life science and how much plastics is being used. When I heard about this opportunity, it was like this, combining a passion for me with, you know, my commercial experience, and really, you know, we are out to make a large impact in the lab.
Thank you, Catherine. Caitlin, how about you?
Yeah, so my background is similar from medical device industry experience. And I was also really floored by when you are in the OR, they're filling probably, I don't know, 6 or 8 large bags of trash every single operation, which is really not sustainable. It is in stark contrast to actually procedures that I visited in Europe, where Europe in general has done a much better job, at least in the operating room, of really rethinking in terms of reusables and cutting down on trash. There is a really clear distinction of like, this is trash, this is recycling. They do a really good job of collecting. And even down to like the gowns that the surgeon wears are reusable. The gloves are reusable. They're just set up in a way that the U.S. really isn't. And so really keying in on those differences kind of led me down this path of like, we should be doing something different and we need to do it quickly because the rate at which we are sort of expanding these single-use plastics is at a really staggering rate. And so if we don't do something soon, we'll never meet these goals that we have.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And Noah, how about you?
Yeah. Well, you know, they say you kind of follow your inner compass and you end up at whatever path you take. I've been doing this stuff for most of my career and studied it undergrad, graduate school. So it's just been part of my, you know, trajectory. But I ended up in consulting specifically because I was just couldn't pick a single topic to focus on. I wanted to be working with folks like Caitlin and Catherine, excited, passionate people working on really big problems with as many, you know, different problems that can be worked on as possible. So short attention span and lots of interest is why I ended up in consulting.
No, that's brilliant. I mean, it's clear that three of you are very passionate about this, and we are delighted to have you join us for this episode. So, Catherine, I guess for any of our listeners that aren't familiar with Grenova, I wondered if you could just give a brief history of the company.
Sure. Yeah, we have a really great history because it's just really the story of someone, our founder, working in the lab, and he saw the plastic waste, the plastics just being thrown away all day long, every day. And he worked for a liquid handler company. And it's a great story because when people see a problem, there's some people who are oriented to try to fix the problem. And he certainly was, and stood up the idea of Grenova in 2014. So we're really at 10 years of like history of the company. And then we had our first product out to market in 2015. So this year we'll be celebrating really our 2025 will be like our 10-year anniversary being in the market. I think a lot of people thought he was totally crazy when he first started the company. Like, you're not going to be able to wash tips. You're crazy. And so just chipping away at it. There's a lot of passionate people that work here. And a lot of sustainability is really changing culture and mindset. And so that's what the company has been doing over the years. Certainly during COVID, when the industry experienced the supply shortage, you couldn't get tips at certain points of the time during the pandemic. So it was really an amazing opportunity for Grenova to meet the moment. And there was a lot of people that might not have been early adopters of tip washing that ended up buying tip washers during the pandemic to continue operations. And that was fantastic for our company because it gave us the ability to get data created and help people understand that, yeah, we can return this tip to a like new status that you can use again. And so we met the moment during COVID. It was wild, like it was for everyone else. And now that that's sort of quieted back down, we're refocused on sustainable practices as a reason that we exist. And so it's been really fantastic because the industry is coming along. I mean, you're having a podcast on this topic. We were just at Future Labs Live in Basel, Switzerland. There was an entire almost day dedicated to, in one of the breakout rooms, to sustainable topics. So it's just a really exciting time for Grenova.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's clear that the idea of sustainability is becoming a more aware issue in the industry. And I think we're definitely becoming more aware of the impact that research is having. So I guess with that in mind, what are some of the key strategies then that are being used in the industry to cut down on this environmental footprint? And as you've mentioned a lot, reduce plastics waste, which is huge.
You know, it's interesting. Caitlin was talking about the scale of life science. And I think the thing we all have to, and I know we agree on, is life science grows when population grows and when people's well-being grows. That's the whole purpose of the industry. And so when you think about the growth of population, the growth of just all these technologies to better human health, it's not going to stop. And I mean, I've seen different CAGRs from 8% to 13%. And so to imagine that we're going to continue to reuse plastics at this rate, we can't do it. It's literally the definition of unsustainable. So I think the first step is really awareness. And one of our really great partners in this work is MyGreen Labs, and they've been around about 10 years as well. And it's really, I think the first step is just like being aware, like just taking an assessment of like, what are we doing in here? Do we need to be doing all the things we're doing like we're doing it? Just because that's the way it's always been done, is that the way we should always do it? And so that's very simple, but like that's the first step. So I think awareness and then finding people that are like-minded to tackle the problem. And you're seeing a lot of labs successfully create these coalitions of people that really believe in this issue. And they're getting meetings with higher ups of the company. And if you're paying any attention at all, a lot of the companies in life science are reporting on their sustainability goals and targets. So it's a really bottom-up, top-down. But in the lab, I mean, you're seeing the simplest things like, let's turn off the equipment when we're not using it. let's close the hood stash when we're not using it. Let's turn our freezers down. If our samples are fine at 10 degrees lower, can we turn our freezers down a little bit? And that saves a tremendous amount of energy. People just reassessing their processes. Are we doing things in the right way? Even just on deck, are there tips that can be reused on deck? You know, because you're just with a buffer or you're doing something like that. And then recycling and reuse, obviously, there's a couple, again, we sort of our philosophy at Grenova is applauding everybody. So some people are recycling plastics and we applaud that. But reuse, when you look at sustainability, that's the ultimate. Because when you reuse something, you never manufactured it, you never shipped it. None of that ever happened. You just reused it. So that's where we feel like labs can get the biggest bang for their buck, so to speak. And so that's obviously what our business is passionate in. But this industry kind of all works together to get to the goal that we're all trying to achieve.
Absolutely. As you said, it's, I think, not just going with the status quo, but, you know, questioning in it. And then I'm sure we can find some, you know, quick wins to make big improvements. Noah, I just wondered if you had any other further insights to add to that point.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're thinking it from a enterprise level, you know, you have companies that are trying to change their power sources, right? Transition to renewable energy, start working with more sustainable suppliers. Things as simple, like Katie had mentioned, it's remarkable how many things aren't turned off when operations are done. You know, so it's some of these things that connecting the dots in what can be changed today and what is needed for further planning in the future. You know, it comes back to what Katie said, you got to start today. You got to start doing what you can do today based on what you know today. And everything from, you know, transitioning the materials that are being used in building product things around, you know, different distribution models. So there's a lot of more macro level operational changes, which is what makes the Grenova solution such a, from an ESG director standpoint, such a beautifully simplistic concept, because you don't have to rearrange your whole business model to have these significant improvements on your emission reduction performance. So those are kind of the big level things, but you know, when the boots are on the ground, that's really where the real work happens. And that's why what Grenova's doing is super exciting.
Wonderful. Thank you. I mean, sustainability isn't the only pressure that is faced by labs. I mean, you know, with pressures in terms of funding, and they're often being asked to do a lot more with quite a lot less. So I just wondered, if anything, what financial impact do the sustainability projects have?
Yeah, this is a really interesting question because, like, let me push this back on you, Rachel. When you think of sustainability, do you think it's going to cost more or less?
I would say that perhaps there was an initial investment, but then long term, you would see real gains. I mean, that's just from my opinion. I'm not sure if you would agree with that.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. And so I think this question of how does sustainability fit in the financial objectives of an organization is a really good question, and one we should be having in the open, because all the way from the macro level of, okay, we have all these sustainability goals, where's our budget for this? And some companies we see, they have sustainability budgets, some don't. And so these are the labs that kind of more homegrown practices need to be adopted. But I think you're right on. I mean, there may be a little investment, whether it's monetary, whether it's time, whether it's changing a process and revalidating a process. But ultimately, like, for example, I'll just use Grenova because this is obviously what I know. But think about the tips that you buy. I mean, we see ranges, and Caitlin helped me here, from like $2 a rack to what's the most expensive tip rack we've seen? 80?
I think the most expensive one I've seen is 300.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Quite a range.
But again, I would say that that 80 range is probably also something that we would see more often than that 300.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm realizing most of these racks are, you know, whatever, $6 to $10. I mean, it's such a range. But think about just using that one time. Think about the savings that that's generating. And now think about reusing it twice and then three times and then four times. I mean, we have some customers using this 20, 30, 40 times. They validated for that much reuse. So it's just, my point here is that sustainability doesn't always have to be more expensive. It can actually be economically better. And think about just using less materials or less reagents. And I don't have a lab background, so I won't begin to drift into how you would do that. But I've seen our customers find all kinds of creative ways to do that. So I think, and then the last thing I'll say on this is I think the industry is creating its own economy where it values sustainability. So Noah mentioned that earlier about suppliers. And if suppliers who are dedicated to sustainability in their own operations and in the products that they build, if they're rewarded with contracts because of, you know, get a little good guy because they're focused on sustainability, that is going to help create an economy where being sustainable can be more profitable as well. So I think we're sort of in the middle of all that coming together. But I think we're still sort of an open discussion in the industry.
And I guess it's not just making these changes, but then it's also having a way to measure the impact that these changes have had. And I know that was the reason behind the partnership with Grenova and Row Impact, was to build this calculator to provide solution impact. So I just wondered, firstly, if you can walk us through why you built the calculator and then also what that development process was like.
Sure. So Katie and I attended this ESG conference last October in Boston, which was really eye-opening for us being new to life sciences, just kind of putting a little bit of a frame around this conversation when it comes to sustainability. And we had a couple of major takeaways. One, at the time, there was a lot of discussion about reporting, how people were going to report and how they were going to meet these requirements and new regulations. And we came away saying, like, we know inherently that tip washing is good, right? It seems very natural. You're going to reuse something, but how good is good and what does that really mean? And so we set off on this sort of journey to find a partner to help us quantify what that really meant in terms of carbon emissions, plastic waste, and then sort of this delighter that we found on the way, which was actually a reduction in water use. And so we partnered with Row to put together this very unique calculator where we can actually forecast for every particular customer what their impact could be. And then on the back end of that, for those who have adopted the solutions, using that same methodology to say, hey, based off of what you have washed, here's the impact you've made. And like Katie alluded to, it's a little bit unique in its creation because we're talking about a calculator of something you didn't do. You didn't produce something, you didn't, you know, transport it. There is no end of life associated with each of these things that you didn't use. And so sort of calculating this positive impact became a unique sort of proposition. And so working with Row was a really valuable tool to say, hey, this is something really unique and new to this industry. How do we put something together where we can really quantify what that means? So Noah, I don't know if you want to go into a little bit on your side, the development of the calculator and kind of what that looks like from your perspective.
Sure. Yeah. I'll take a step back before taking a step back in just to give a quick history lesson on you know, where does this methodology come from? You know, why are we working on it? So we at Row, we've been teaming up with a group called the Prime Coalition of Catalytic Capital since 2019, which is essentially a coalition of impact and climate-centric investors. And we've been working with them on how do you build a methodology for forecasting impact in the future? So when you think about climate in you know, counting, greenhouse gas counting, all of that's retroactive, right? You're using the year before's numbers. It's all historic. But with climate inherently, we can't be using historical numbers because of these changes that are projected to happen in the future. So what we wanted to do was create a methodology that was, you know, evidence-based yet digestible by a wide audience. And what we did was essentially adapt that methodology we've been working on with, you know, with Prime and all of their coalition members, and adapted it to fit the needs for Grenova around, if you scale this solution across, you know, a company's operations, how many tips are they using? What would be the forecasted impact, you know, by 2025 or 2030, 2035? So being able to essentially forecast the scale in which they work with Grenova, what would be the emission reduction potential of working with Grenova? So, you know, up until now, a lot of these discussions were qualitative in nature, where there'd be a, you see how this would help you, and it'd be almost like a, trying to get a joint understanding of the problem and solution. But through the calculator, you're able to get right into the hard numbers. And that, you know, was really eye-opening for us. You know, looking at hundreds of technologies and then seeing Grenova having such a significant emission reduction right out of the box. I mean, it's just incredible from a straight number standpoint.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it sounds it. And I wonder if you could just tell us a bit more about this specific project and working with Grenova. Is this something typical that Roa has done, or is this something a bit different?
Yeah, this is our bread and butter. This is our you know, specialty in terms of what do we specialize in with the ESG advisory and software space, which is really this impact forecasting and verification. And then we did some training all together so that their sales team was able to go and have booth discussions and, you know, position themselves both as a salesperson as well as a sustainability advisor from buyers that have these major commitments they need to address.
And then, I guess, taking a bit of a step back, just want your thoughts in terms of why this third-party verification of green claims that companies have is so important.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, ESG regulations are going into effect or are already in effect in every major market in the world, including the UK. So at the end of the day, you have these laws that are saying greenwashing is fraud, which up until, you know, relatively recently, you could have a dubious claim or a kind of squishy numbers that were unsubstantiated and it was fine. But now it's equated to fraud and it's illegal and it's resulting in, you know, litigation and lawsuits and all sorts of consequences that up until relatively recently weren't really part of the sustainability discussion. But now it's become a very real reputational and financial risk of these numbers need to be verified and they need to be verified by a trusted party, or you could be getting these greenwashing accusations.
And if I may, Rachel, just jump in for a second. You know, businesses exist to provide and create value. And we know we're creating value for washing tips because we're reducing plastic and we're saving, helping these labs save money. But really, we see that this information is going to be really valuable in reporting of the future. And so we wanted to provide our customers third-party verified data to quantify what they're doing in the labs. And so we very new with this tool. We just sort of finalized it, I think, in April, and we're about to sort of commercialize. We started using the forecast, but like we're really doing this later this summer. This will go out to our customers. So our hope is that we are helping labs build sustainability impact reports in the future and feel very, and we needed a third party like Roa to do that properly.
Sounds like this is going to be a very exciting year for you. Yeah, so thank you all. Thank you so much, the three of you, for joining us today. I think we've covered, yeah, we've had some really great insights in terms of, you know, changing the status quo way of thinking, how, you know, reusing plastics really is such a key aspect to improving sustainability, and then also the importance of measuring and validating the impact that that has. So just before we wrap things up completely for this episode, I just wanted to ask each of you in turn, if you had one key takeaway for our listeners today, what would that be? So Catherine, if we start with you.
I think for me, it's, you know, just watching this evolve, you see sustainability at a really high level. So if you work for a large company, the board is thinking about this and putting out a report, and you may feel like sitting in a lab, am I really, like, they're changing out boilers and they're buying wind power and they're buying carbon offsets. And this is the travel policy. Like, how can I get involved in this? And I think technologies like Grenova allow people that are in the lab to really participate in this greater story that's happening. And so you use the tips, you watch them go into the machine, and then you use them again. Like, it's just reinforcing this culture of sustainability. It's that same feeling you get when you throw something into a trash can versus a recycling can. It's just really, from a culture standpoint, I feel like Gronova allows labs to really get involved. And even if it's just washing, to not put them in the biohazard waste, just to recycle them. We have some labs that are starting out with tip washing, just doing that, which is saving money and also avoiding the carbon emissions associated with incineration or biohazard waste. So my takeaway would be, everybody plays a part in this, and don't feel like your job is too small to really make an impact. What would you say, Caitlin?
Kind of building on that, I would say, you know, change is inherently hard, right? Like, we as humans, we like routine, we like habits, we like the things that we know. And this mindset shift is a change. And so I think the real thing is, like, just get started on something. We have a customer, her name is Kat Knauer. She is from NREL, and she recently did a podcast that really resonated with us, which is like, you're not going to know everything before you start. That's inherent in change. And so, like, just get started so that you can learn, so we can develop better pathways, so we can do these things better. But if we all stay stagnant, we're never going to get anywhere with this process. And so embrace the change and just get started in any way you see possible. And we'll sort of build on those things as we all discover more about sustainability and about this space.
So I know I can't say what Katie and Caitlin said for my final takeaway, but I couldn't agree with them. Corporate sustainability is the ultimate team sport, and you can't have half the team on the bench. It really needs everybody moving in the same direction. And, you know, it's tools like Gronova that enable the players in the lab, you know, the folks that are, you know, confined to a space, to make significant progress on those enterprise commitments that are being made in the boardroom. So it's kind of like, you know, empower your people and get them moving in the same direction. It's the only way to, play the game here.
Katie and I talk about this a lot, and sort of reinforcing, like, I think the game of sustainability is rising tides raise all boats, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no one person, no one solution is going to get us to our end goal. And so the more we can all do collectively to try and reach that goal at that macro or that micro level, the better off we will all be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that really important messages, to be honest, not just for sustainability, but also, you know, for a lot of other things. When you're looking to make changes, it's getting everyone on board. It's working together and doing a small bit at a time and keep going. Thank you all. Thank you the three of you for joining us for this episode. I hope the listeners have found this discussion insightful. If you've got any questions or comments on the content that you've heard today from Catherine, Caitlin, and Noah, or if you have suggestions for any other topics that you'd like us to cover, then you can reach out to us at community@fptlabtech.com. We've got lots more content on the way, so make sure you're subscribed to catch new episodes as they're released. And lastly, just a thank you again to our speakers today and for listening, and we'll see you again soon.